When you're a kid, your neighborhood is your universe. It's your entire world. Your bicycle is your vessel, your spacecraft, to cruise through every little bit of where you live. Back in the 80s, when it was safer to be a kid, you knew every street, every trail, every drainage ditch, every set of woods. You knew how that entire neighborhood was connected. You knew every detail, every home, where every kid lived, where most people worked, what cars they drove, and the schedules that they lived by. So when anything new would happen, it just wasn't the unfamiliar. It was earth-shattering. Something in this place where you knew how it all worked and came together. Something was different. And this time, the something was extremely unique. I was riding my bike on a summer afternoon, probably somewhere in the ballpark, if my mind sees it right, about 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I had just had my dinner. I was coming around this corner, going to see my friend, when I saw in the middle of the road. I don't think my innocent mind was prepared for what I was getting ready to see. But boy, am I glad that I did. I remember seeing Dale Pierce doing a street plant. That's where you put one hand down on the ground and your other hand is holding your skateboard on your feet and you're inverted. You're upside down. You're a plant in the street. I remember that moment. His blonde hair, bright colored shorts, ripped up t-shirt, and the width of the skateboard. Its colored wheels, its trucks that had grind marks on it, the bright graphics of the board, his earrings. Not only were his ears pierced, but he had multiple earrings in multiple ears, breaking all of the rules that I knew. Because I remember at that time, growing up in Kentuckiana, if you had your right ear pierced, you were straight. But if you got your left pierced, you were gay. And if you had both of them pierced, you were out of this world. Everything about him was so rebellious and so different than anything that I'd ever seen before. I remember seeing this moment like I remember seeing Star Wars at the drive-in with my mother. I remember this moment like the first time I ever really thought about the beauty of a classic car. This was a coming-of-age moment because this guy, who looked different than any guy I'd ever seen before, was in my neighborhood. Because we knew everything about Riverside, I thought it would just be a matter of time before I would know everything about this stranger. And I wanted to know everything about where did he come from? What is this look? How does the skateboard work? How do you know that you can put one hand down and hold up the rest of the body with the skateboard still on your feet and come down all four wheels landing at the same time? I wanted to know everything about this moment. But because I always had people in my house that doubted me, that planted the seeds of self-doubt in my impressionable young mind, I immediately told myself that I wasn't worthy of being his friend. Now, in all transparency, there was a solid, I want to think, 5 or 6 years between our ages. But when you're that age, it feels like a decade between the two of you. So I definitely knew that I wasn't a peer, and I lacked all of the self-confidence to approach this individual, to try to go up and say, "Hey, my name's Mark. What is your name?" I just looked on in awe. For the first time in my life, I think that I had a hero. There was someone who was unapproachable, but someone I so wanted to be near. But I didn't feel like I had earned that right or that I would be accepted. And it's funny because we still do this to ourselves as adults. We see the world as people that we perceive at our level and then those that are out of our reach. If I've been able to do anything through the power of podcasting and from all the different lives that I've lived as a creative, you start to realize that everyone sees the world this way. And the world rewards those that are bold enough to break those social barriers, to those that are bold enough to reach out to someone, even though that they feel emotionally that they might be on another level of success, of popularity, of fame. I did in this situation what I've done my entire life. Instead of shooting for the top, I sold myself short and settled for the middle and went and made friends with his younger brothers. I put my time in with all the Pierce brothers to work my way up to the older brother, Dale. Maybe if I could put myself in a time machine, I would cut out the middleman and go right for the top. Maybe that would have taught me a lesson that all of these barriers that we see, they're only there because we choose to see them. They're not really there. Nobody really tells you that you're out of the league of whatever business you want to approach, or whatever person that you want to bring into your world. We put these fences up because we're taught them as children. So maybe if I was shot to the top, things would be different. But this is the moment that I realize setting a trend, maybe a trap, for my entire adult life, to where I would always see where I wanted to go, shoot my standards lower with the idea that I could work my way up to the top. It's bizarre to look back at this moment in 1986 when I would see someone that held the keys to everything that I wanted to become and every place that I would end up going. But I'd already been programmed with self-doubt, so I settled. I'm your host, Mark Bricky. My wake-up call is looking back on this moment and realizing that I've always talked myself out of what my ultimate goal is. And I find myself at a moment in my life where I'm throwing all my chips in. I'm going on a full court press to go exactly to where I want to go, and I'm not holding myself back anymore. I'll be here tomorrow. I hope that you'll come back and join me. But until then, I hope you let yourself go. I hope you realize, just like me, that there are no barriers except for the ones that we create in our own mind. I'll see you back here tomorrow when I tell you how I found the roadmap to my future in the pages of a stolen Thrasher magazine. I would like to thank my new partners that signed up to support Wake Up Call. Thank you so much. It was nice to see so many of you jump on board on the very first day. Thank you, Corey Longfellow, for becoming a partner in Wake Up Call. You too can support the show by visiting anchor.fm/wakeupcall.